Let's get on.
Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire 175.
Oh,
we've got a number this time.
Thank God.
I'm your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me is Andrew Walker.
Yeah.
The easiest of A's.
I forgot that last time. I was happy.
What, you don't like being referenced?
I don't like being called easy, no.
Alright.
I like to think people need to put up a fight before they get a son with me.
Okay, so joining us is the a-hole Andy Walker.
Fuck. Why did I hit here? Fuck. What's your fucking nickname?
The A-Train.
Fuck you, A-Train.
The A-Bomb.
A-Bomb. That's what I call my fucking stools.
Atomic bombs.
Yes.
Anyway, today is our Donnie Double bill.
Yeah.
In the Line of Duty 4 and Special ID.
Yeah.
Not Special Ed. Yeah. No last movies watched. We're just jumping right into the films.
Oh, I watched quite a few movies this week.
Okay, if you can tell it to me within the next minute, what have you seen?
Shit, you put me on the spot. What was it? I can't remember the names. What were they called? I can't remember. Shit. Star Trek 2! The Red 2! There you go, I'm
done! I'm out!
That's fucking dead! Oh, that was hard! I hate it when I get put on the spot. My brain just shuts down. Even though I've already got it in my head ready to see it. So I'm like, go! Oh, there you go. Star Trek 2 and Red 2.
It's like a fucking sink or swim mechanism. You just sound
fight or flight. I decided to run away in my head. My brain just decided to get up.
Alright, that's our last movies watched. Really good.
Star Trek 2 was.
Mm-hmm.
Red 2 was a wee bit childish. The best thing about it was fucking
Lee Byung-hun.
Yes. It was pretty funny because he stole his aeroplane. And he wasn't happy.
There's no nukes being launched at Bruce Willis then. Don't want to spoil it, fair enough.
There's not much folk will watch it because it's got Bruce Willis in it. And he's shit.
Okay, so first movie today is In the Line of Duty 4 from 1989, directed by Yuen Woo Ping. The plot, when a Chinese immigrant dock worker comes into brief contact with secret evidence implicating...
Was he a fucking prostitute?
What? Chinese immigrant dock worker.
Fuck, they weren't doing the docks like this. Get fucked. For my...
Well, thankfully he never got to that stage in this film. He got interrupted.
What rating was this movie?
Rating,
Why is that in your notes?
Because.
Your notes have failed. Obviously the case... It's an 18! Yes.
It's just probably for
that batch 12.
Violence.
That batch 12 nowadays.
I think it likes when
Liam Neeson would get in that film.
Tommy got shot to pieces, sacrifices himself for Richie.
Yes. 12.
Okay. So I'll start that again. When an immigrant Chinese dock worker comes into brief contact with secret evidence implicating a crooked CIA officer and the Green Dragon Triads. In a major drug trafficking operation, he is marked for death. Now on the run and running out of time, his only hope for survival is two cops with nothing to hide and nothing to lose.
That's a true 80s fucking description of film.
Like, holy shit, and there's Chinese people? Souls!
Yeah.
They're gonna be fighting and shit. And they do. Like every 5 minutes. So the cast of this film is Cynthia Khan as Penny Yuen, Yuen Yat Kor as Richie Chan.
Is it Chan? I think it's Chan.
Act. Donnie Yen is Donnie Yan. Michael Wong is Michael Wong.
Fuck's sake.
And Dick Loy as Tommy, gambling sidekick. As Loy Kai Chi.
This is the wee Loy. This is like he gave up on trying to pronounce it. Just went, aye.
He was I don't know if you remember it now, but Loy Kai Chi was in Beast Stalker and Stool Pigeon. Is just like giveaway dude. Like, I think he was a homeless guy in Stool Pigeon.
Oh, right, the guy, the first snitch.
I think, he was called Jabber.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh. He raped people.
Gets raped in alleys now. I used to be a Stool Pigeon, you know. Shut it. Fudge.
Does it actually sound like that shit?
I don't know what the sound of fudge being packed is like.
you attempted to make the noise.
Fudge. Yeah. And I don't know what a packing sound is, like just folding things neatly and tightly.
I've got a box here. Let's put some fudge in it and see what it's just like. That was sounding so fucking wrong.
What did you think of the film, The Guy for Fudge Packing?
It was the funniest 18 I've seen. The funniest serious 18 I've seen.
Right. Well, great. So, for the funny, was it the dubbing that did it that way, or...?
It's just basically because it was made in the 80s.
Aye.
All 80s action films are funny. Mm-hmm. Just because they're bad at being serious.
Aye, melodrama.
Melodrama.
Yes. That's where it's just like, oh, it's just layered on thick.
And the extreme hand gestures.
Aye, which was like a big thing in the 80s, I think they must have. Aye, I think it's obviously the
I'm sure it would have been like that in the 70s as well. Before they got their fucking dubbing, try to make the dubbing right.
Aye.
Then they just did a straight off translation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chinese mouse were still moving after they finished talking.
Aye, the typical, like, dubbing.
Aye.
But, outside of, like, the...
Like, as in the storyline.
Story.
It's alright, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A good, well thought out story.
Aye, it's...
Everybody's corrupt.
Aye. And it's sort of like, it does fall in the line of, like, a decent 80s action film.
Aye.
Like, it works. Like, obviously it's got the sort of the right stars to it, like Donnie Yen, and like he was like a rising star at that point.
Yeah.
So just to see him like fly on screen with kicks and destroy like Arabian Scousers and
Iranian. Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, Arabian. Well, that could be Arabs.
Yeah.
Is that where?
Well, there's one of them. There's at least one in there. They're like
fucking Arabs.
They kind of picked up everyone for like.
That was before
the
America.
The Chungking Mansions and brought them in.
Before Arabs were only allowed in America.
But it somehow got into the Canadian version of Seattle.
Aye, I didn't understand that. Why is there a Canadian flag flying?
I think they just probably shouldn't have been there. Like
illegal filming?
Of course.
There was
always.
Somebody jumping off a giant building.
I know, but it was like it was blinking, you miss it.
I saw it. I don't
mean, it was like the public. Like, did that happen? No.
Where's that Asian fellow falling? Hey.
Maybe we should go save him. No.
Fuck him. He's not
immigrants.
He's not white.
So
he's fucking racist.
I love the film. Like it's always.
You loved
like,
it.
Aye. It is a fun film. Like it is something that's. I've not watched it for maybe. Easily 5, it can be 10 years now, but like since I originally seen it, it's always been like this just brilliant action film with like great like Sega Mega Drive style music.
The music's good, it's nostalgic.
It is something that's like brilliant about 80s films.
Aye.
Like it was just like someone going at like with ADD and a keyboard.
And a soundboard as well.
Mm-hmm. And pan pipes.
I didn't understand that. Why is there Peruvians sitting in the background playing pan flute?
Mm-hmm. In like every restaurant, cafe, and bar. It's like, man, that song's like. Must be high in the charts. Everyone's fucking playing it everywhere they go. It's almost like it's just been ripped for like softcore porn. Like, do 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 do. And just like Donnie Yen and Michael Wong sitting down to dinner together.
Never seen any softcore porn, Stuart. How is that?
I reckon, no, I just expect it'd have a lot of panpipe.
A lot of panpipe?
Pipes all together, aye. being blown on as well.
Yeah. Pipes getting blown.
So, one of my notes here, I've basically put, every scene in this movie is a fight scene. Or at least 90%. Like, everyone goes into a scene, by the end of it, they're all fighting. Like, fights break out.
There was no fighting when they went in to see his mother.
Ah, that was when it was your forced melodrama. Of, like...
Don't show the handcuffs, we're in love.
Aye, that was... basically, that was the scene. Donnie Yen being a dick.
He wasn't being a dick, he's been nice. Plus, he's watching, laughing at them.
One of the robotic Western actors.
Oh!
Like, even like the bit I pointed out in the beginning, like when Sonny Yoon, or Yoon Yat Kor, shoots one of the bad guys escaping for like the drug meeting. No, the drug deal. The drug meeting. And he shoots him and he just drops like the Terminator.
Right.
And it's even just like the dude Donnie Yen fights on the motorbike and where's the... I think everyone just seemed to have like a kind of swollen pus look to them. Like just shiny faces, big fucking teeth, and just wooden as fuck.
Yeah, but I don't.
Like, I guess that they're probably just there because they could fight.
Basically.
Aye.
And they don't have any sort of fucking acting skills whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Like that blonde woman that Cynthia Khan had to fight.
And the black guy, fucking nice geek scum.
Aye. Michael Woods. obviously, this film was directed by Yuen Woo-ping and his clan, essentially. That's why we had like Yuen Yat Kor as the lead and one of the other Yuen brothers as one of the villains, like mustache guy number four, Chinese mustache guy.
You see the guy that
get being tailed to begin with, like when they like, in that
he's
scene,
the one that got fucking knocked off that fucking thing in Canada.
Aye.
The stairs, and was he the guy that tried to blow up the car with her in it?
Yes, aye. He's another one of the Yuen brothers. Like he's appeared in some of the earlier work, like the Jackie Chan, Unsi Yuen films, Snake and Eagle, Shadow, Drunken Master. He was always like either the teacher that gets killed at the beginning of the film or bad guy that shows up and gets his ass handed to him.
Right.
So it's always like members of the Yuen clan because Simon Yuen was the old drunken master, like the old homeless person that would teach martial arts. That's their dad.
That guy with the chubby face, the glowing cheeks.
Aye, the old pissed fart.
Yeah.
That would be like magically a kung fu master. Aye, this was like his spawn. Like he was obviously a very busy man to have like a whole acting troupe of kids that would just basically become a film studio.
How would they get into acting?
And again, there's obviously just nothing else to do. Maybe like the dad was the entry drug and got all his kids in.
Right.
Like they probably couldn't afford like childcare those days, so there's always like 20 kids sitting about on set watching. Like, seen Reagan stunts and just basically became a team.
That could be a thing to check to see if any of them, when they were young, were in any
child actors.
Just the background.
Like, extras.
Learning.
Kids going on a school bus or a rickshaw. Yeah. A school rickshaw.
There was no schools.
Just kung fu schools.
You learned your maths on the streets.
If I you one fist, how much teeth will you lose? but aye, it was definitely just one of these films. Like, it's just, I guess it's nostalgia of how like the hunt to get the film in the first place. This was at like the early stages when I collected like Hong Kong Legends, and you were still trading like VHS tapes. And I had sent one of my friends online a copy of Jet Li's The Legend 2. Which is like Fong Sayuk part 2, but that doesn't sound hard enough. Aye, it was just like a tape trading thing. I was like, have you seen this film yet? No. And then I said, right, so I get sent in the post. Yeah. And it was like a brick come through the letterbox, like a big rental VHS cassette tape. Aye. Then put in a protective cardboard box, then sent through the post. I think it must have sent like a fiver to send these tapes back and forth. And it was just, it was a Hong Kong Legend VHS when they'd done those as well. And it was like the exact same cover list. Obviously, this has like the kind of blue, greeny cheese set. It was the exact same, but all the background colours were all like red. I think why they had to change the VHS cover art.
Yeah.
And I think they had it, they might have done the thing where they released the two separate versions. Like, one videotape was dubbed and one videotape was subbed. Because I knew they'd done that with Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
Like, Hard Boiled's been released maybe 30 times over here in the UK now. And there was always stuff like dubbed VHS, subtitled VHS, director's cut or extended cut. And then it got released on DVD like 10 more times.
Yeah.
So.
Is it on Blu-ray?
I don't think it's on Blu-ray over here. Yeah. It's got its Blu-ray in America. But. Like,
fucking Yanks get everything.
That was for like the Dragon Dynasty label. But I think it's been bought by like one of these distributors that always do like the bargain basement DVDs. Like, you can buy it for maybe 99p or out of pound land, and like, you'll get the film. Subtitle track will probably be a little out of sync, or the picture quality's somehow gotten worse. Like, they buy like a pirate copy, then pirate it again, and then sell it to you for a pound.
Yeah.
Which is crazy with that, how earlier versions are so much superior, but it's just, I guess, cutting corners of tricking fucking to buying a good film, but just terrible quality.
Yeah, all they're doing is just basically burning it from disc to disc.
Then shitting on it.
Yeah.
And then selling it to the public.
At an inflated price.
Aye. So that was some of my notes. Like, it is, like, the film does have some really fucking amazing fight scenes, but I think that's just the thing that you come to expect for like Yin Wu-Ping, like, and his family doing the action, and then having Donnie Yen, Cynthia Khan, and Yin Yat Kor. Like, they're obviously, like, the Yins are all obviously trained for screen fighting, so like the spars between him and Donnie Yen were pretty good, and even like those wide shots of them running along rooftops, jumping in on the old mattresses.
Aye, the obviously placed mattresses.
Aye. Or that chase would have stopped right there. Like, that film would have stopped there if he'd done that jump and he's like, ah! I've got both my legs! Donnie Yen just slaps cuffs on him. Credits.
Aye.
They get away with it in the end. The crooked CIA.
That should have been another ending where Donnie Yen did actually join him. Instead of having that fight in his house.
Like, he's actually just with Michael Wong's character all along.
Yeah. Partners all the way.
Mm-hmm. They just beat up the women. And obviously, like, one of the great bad guys in it, like Michael Woods, like that black actor. Like, for
Michael Woods?
Aye. Not Tiger Woods, but Michael Woods.
Who's Michael Woods?
The big black fighter.
Ah.
And, like, it was just the fact that we were supposed to be fooled by him being dressed as a small Chinese woman sleeping in her bed.
That was disgusting. There's like, oh, that's obviously a woman. There's like, and then like 3 foot in. 9 or something. They turn around and he's like a 7 foot black guy.
In a wee black wig. Just starts slugging granny. Oh no, it's Cynthia Khan.
Yeah, punches her boss. And then the fucking Brazilian car walks in.
Aye. And it was weird, like, this must have been like amongst the sort of the girls with guns, like the fact, like, strong female leads.
Aye, she was, I think she was more the lead than Donnie Yen was.
Aye, because how this obviously is in the Line of Duty 4, there is 8 in the Line of Duty movies.
Aye.
And she stars in 6 of them.
Does she?
Aye. So I think it is like a real, and like obviously in the film they referenced her as like the Hong Kong cop.
Yeah.
Like, that obviously just went over to the States to.
Aye, that's what did it. Why, like, was Donnie Yen an American cop?
Mm-hmm. It's like some sort of joint operation that they got together, but then the Chinaman flies back home, so they all have to go in after him.
Yeah.
So, but aye, she starred in, so there is 8 of these films spanning for like mid 80s to early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
First two movies starred, well, the first one was Yes Madam, which got released over here as Police Assassins.
Oh damn.
Starring Cynthia Rothrock and Michelle Yao.
Right.
And the sequel, Royal Warriors, was just Michelle Yao.
Uh-huh.
And then when it came to In the Line of Duty 3, I think Cynthia Khan came on as sort of like this like really, no, I think it's like just basically your cheap replacement for Michelle Yao and Cynthia Rothrock, because Michelle Yao, before becoming Yao, she was known as Michelle Khan. So they took Cynthia for the Rough Rock and the Khan for the Michelle and made Cynthia Khan. So just like these two people together, and just now you have your fucking action American girls with Khan star.
Halfway, half fucking Chinese.
But not, she's just full Chinese flung in there, but with the name of that white broad. And then she continued to star through In a Line of Duty 3, In a Line of Duty 4, Witness, In a Line of Duty 5, Middleman, In a Line of Duty 6, The Beginning, In a Line of Duty 7, Forbidden Arsenal,
The Middle, and then
In a Line of Duty 8? Aye, 8, Sea Wolves.
Who the fuck did they get the name of that?
No clue.
Sea Wolves.
Maybe just like fighting the docks again.
Oh no.
So like on her filmography, it's like they've sort of redone some of these films, or tried to there's, you notice in her career, in her filmography, there's more Yes Madams showing up there, so it's like they've tried to relaunch maybe the original one. Yeah. Or just trick people into thinking it's these type of films, and she's always seems to be cast as like Penny Yin in films, or Inspector Yin, or Inspector Yan. It's always like trying, just like Lan Chin Ying always being the vampire hunter.
Yeah.
It's like they sort of found her niche and just started putting her in as the fighting female cop.
Yeah.
So I think that's where she, basically the bread and butter was made for her. Until most recently, where there's about a 10-year gap for like 2003 to like 2013 in her career, where she didn't do anything. And now she's appeared doing some like mainland films, known as one film, Super Players.
Oh.
And Attack of Sea Turtle. And these are films that have just like got half a dozen cast members and no, like no details at all. So I think if it's TV movies or, but
they aren't real.
She's went over to the mainland.
Yeah, everyone's doing that.
So a wee bit more information on Sunny Yin. Yeah, Core. In the Line of Duty 4 was his last film, according to the sources of like Hong Kong Movie Database. Like that was his last acting role. He just stopped there. Before then, he had 50 other films to, like credited in his name.
He did look a wee bit older than the rest of the cast.
Aye, dressed in dungarees, trying to look young and hip. So obviously, it might just be the thing where, like 50 films, the majority of them was being an extra in Shaw Brothers. So that could have been the thing of being raised on the set of a movie.
Yeah.
Like he could have just been in the background shots and then maybe eventually grew up into being an extra, a guard.
Credited for,
For people that do like the Hong Kong Movie Database, they thoroughly like look for people
right,
in their films, so people get their credits. Like they've got things where like a fucking child faced Eric Tsang run about on Shaw Brothers films, and like Lam Ching Ying as a teenager, even like it's got pictures of Sammo Hung in child roles in films. Like they've found him in films, and so like they'll find these credits for people. So like 50 films, like you might actually maybe have another 10 or 15 that they've just not gone around to, because there's just so many fucking Shaw Brothers films out there. And I bet like on set they're probably, but in the studios they'd be filming like half a dozen at a time, and they'd probably walk from one set to another, put on a different costume, do that, and then they're probably just working for like lunch that day. So Michael Wong, previous to In a Line of Duty 4, he'd starred in Legacy of Rage with Brandon Lee, so I think that was sort of like an American martial arts film. He also had a bit part in Royal Warriors, so I reckon if he was playing that's In a Line of Duty 2. So I reckon if he was playing Michael Wong in that film and Michael Wong in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Since then he starred in around 80 other Hong Kong films, everything for like Night Triad movies, like Return to a Better Tomorrow, comedies, Women from Mars, which is this really is naff new at the time. That was when I was on my craze of finding Ikin Cheng movies. And this was like one where it was three womanizers, Ikin Cheng, I think it was Louis Koo, and Michael Wong, were just man sluts, just breaking women's hearts.
Yeah.
And something happens that they all lose their dicks. I reckon if it might actually, like, it's that far ago, there could be maybe a woman from Mars that's just put a spell on them. I don't know why aliens could do witchcraft.
I know.
But they all wake up, and there's just a shot of them all holding like their boxers, like the band, looking down, going, something like, "Where's my birdie?"
Oh.
So it's just this, the probably pish to be that you go start acting like a true gentleman to get your gentleman back.
Yeah.
Oh. I have that line in my house somewhere. But since in the line of duty for most recently in around 2003, he starred in 10 movies called New Option as something like Detective Stone Wong. This is, I don't know if he just turned a video camera on his summer holidays and came up with like a film series.
Stone Wong.
And it was like across 2002, 2003, it was like New Option, Run and Shoot. New Option, Savior. New Option, Gold Rush. All in 1 year, like across 2 years, about a dozen films called New Option something, New Option something. So I don't know if he went on like a direct to DVD craze and just knocked out all these films, but like he still seems to be working nowadays. I just kept busy. Like the guy, like this is just the thing for Hong Kong actors, is to star in a fuckload of films.
Aye, compared to here in America.
Aye, where they
hardly do any films each.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like two years out to do one film, and yeah. Like this is since 1989, so across 20 years he's done 80 films.
Aye.
So aye, like, and that's probably like. People like Simon Yam's probably done more than that. Like he's probably, Simon Yam was quoted for maybe doing 20 films in 2 years, because he's like, what else is there to do? You finish one film and just walk on to the next one, start doing that. And
that was in Asia, that's like your equivalent to mines
or kettle produce. But I skipped some of the information at the start there. The film was obviously released in July 1989, and I don't have any information on the budget, but I did pull in 12 million Hong Kong dollars.
Is that a lot?
Probably not nowadays, but this was in 1989, so what ticket prices would have been then, and maybe like inflation, it probably would have been decent for Hong Kong cinema.
Probably.
But that might have also been one of 20 films that came out that week in Hong Kong, and 10 probably starred like Michael Wong.
All the same actors playing the same films at the same day.
Obviously, the film is available from Hong Kong Legends, which has now been defunct for maybe a decade now.
Maybe pirates took disgusting money.
Amazon still have copies at 1989.
Holy shit.
On DVD. Wait, no, 1998. I'm still thinking of the year the film came out. So £19.98 new on DVD, or you could buy it used for £9.
Even that.
Aye, like DVDs, like second hand DVDs nowadays, you're getting for like £2-3. Mm. Like if it's something popular enough, people are just trying to get rid of them second hand. But for Hong Kong Legends, I think it's just the thing of they're not available anymore.
You can't buy them.
Aye. So, and this was one that I don't think got re-released by CineAsia when they started like reintroducing the Hong Kong Legends catalogue.
Yeah.
Like there might be sort of cheap copies of this on eBay when Hong Kong Legends tried their hands at monthly magazines. Like first magazine £2 each month, £7, and you got a magazine which talked about the films, maybe interviews with the stars, and you got the DVD with it.
Right.
So they started re-releasing all their catalogue and releasing ones that they'd bought the rights to but never gave the proper DVD release too, like
ones you could only get with the magazine.
Exactly, and that was the likes of Prison on Fire 1 and 2, like two big triad Chow Yun-Fat films, and they never got a proper like in-store release, but they got released with this magazine, so I'd picked them both up along with other titles like Heroic Trio, like just ones I just never got around to releasing, and then I guess they were going defunct, so they were just trying to quickly publish them all with the magazine. So it was good to like get a hold of those on region 2, like UK DVDs of films that will probably never get released again.
No.
unless you're Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan, and Donnie Yen to an extent. Like they re-released Iron Monkey with CineAsia, and and just so they could do like Donnie Yen box sets of like three of his films.
Yeah.
and put a wee card sleeve on it, and then
charge £20 extra.
So, but when it came to the internet's reactions to In the Line of Duty 4, IMDb rated it 7 out of 10 based on 640
That's
votes.
Good.
Rotten Tomatoes never rated it. So, like, I guess, like, critics in 1989, like, that could just be that thing where it was, like, obviously the internet wasn't around then.
Yeah.
They're not professional critics reviewing movies from the late 80s in print or online. So, but they had an 84% audience wanting to see the movie. So there's obviously still interest in it, but it was just never reviewed.
Yeah.
Before we jump onto it, was there any other thoughts you thought of the film you want to bring up?
I've already said about the hand gestures, but that's just an 80s thing.
Yeah, aye.
The dubbing was pretty poor.
See, I think
I had a feeling they were switching to different accents.
Aye, I think maybe some of the folk were losing their accents, and it's there could actually been some people playing, like, a few folk in the film, and just like, right, I'm British and now I'm Canadian, and wait, no, I'm British Canadian.
No, I'm Scottish.
Aye, I'm Scottish at one point.
Yes, you know I am.
But it's one of these films where you're watching it for the action, really, and then they just pad it out with sort of melodrama and goofy comedy moments, or hanging the Mullers, like, surrounded by electric barbed wire or electric fencing.
Oh, and I'm putting an electric fence on a window, it's about fucking
20 stories.
20 stories in the air.
But it's sort of like, just sort of like what your Tony Jaa movies are nowadays. You're watching it for the action scenes.
Oh,
like, stories are paper thin.
Just turn this stuff.
Exactly. But it's just all the fights, like Cynthia Khan could throw her kicks, Donnie Yen, like Cynthia Khan doing the stunts on that ambulance. Hang off the side of the vehicle and like jump through the glass and getting kicked in the chops so many times. And then it's just like boss fights at the end galore, like Donnie Yen fighting, I keep wanting to say Benny the Jet, but it's the obviously the deaf mute guy from Police Story 2, like the guy.
Aye.
Like, he's
make the real noise.
That is like the noise.
No, well, just do it.
No,
do it properly.
I can't make deaf mute sounds, but it was like
You've done it before we're recording it again.
I've lost it now. This is my sink or swim moment, making fun of the disabled. That's it. I'm just going, He was a bird, right.
I've
forgotten his name, but I'm pretty sure it's Benny something.
Benny Chan. Everyone's called Chan.
So, he was in it, and of course, like, you had Michael Woods and a couple other dudes fighting, so it was just like your video game, like, boss fight ending, where they're just, everyone was kung fu fighting, essentially.
Yeah.
As the song goes.
There wasn't even any room for fucking dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Just all fighting.
The fists were fast as lightning.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Your jokes aren't even funny.
And as we'll do as a wee segue here, obviously, Donnie Yen. Don't get disgusted at segue.
I didn't leave my lid.
You held it in.
I done well.
Before In the Line of Duty, Donnie Yen had maybe about four other films to his credit then.
He's early on in his career, he's a baby Yen.
So the three films, obviously, three of the four films were all with Yuen Woo-ping. So it's sort of like he was maybe like an adopted brother at this point. They were helping him into acting with Drunken Tai Chi, was his first film.
Yeah.
The Mismatched Couples was that. You remember, I did kind of, I showed you that one. That's where it was like a sort of breakdance fighting. Donnie Yen was doing all the crazy dances.
Showed me
the
fight.
Because
he like, does he not go like that? He's got speakers under his tits or something.
Aye, he's got speakers belt into his coat. It's just like overly cheesy, but just like fucking 80s cinema, really.
Yeah.
And Tiger Cage, which I think is sort of like a similar vein of In Line of Duty, where it is like just kung fu cops.
Yeah.
He did do another one with Stephen Chow, which was with Yuen Woo-ping, but I'm blanking on the title. It's Conflict something, but Obviously, this will be our segue here, because nowadays he has done Special ID most recently.
Yeah.
And, of course, he has a whole slew of other films on the way, but we'll take a wee break and come back with Special ID.
Yeah. Done.
So, Special Identity from 2013.
So, Special ID?
Aye. A bit of both.
No. It's literally ID.
But it's also listed as Special Identity.
Where?
On Wikipedia. Where people can change the information as they please.
Yeah, so they fucking did.
Shut up, right. From director Clarence Falk. Or he's also known as Clarence Ford.
That's better.
The cast consists of Donnie Yen as Dragon Chan.
Fuck off, his name was Dragon Chan.
Aye. Andy On as Sunny. Colin Chow as Brother Zong. Zeong. Main triad bad guy. Ronald Cheng is Captain Chung. And Tian Jing is Fan Jing.
Fan Jing.
Aye.
Yeah, bitch.
Aye. The plot for this one is Donnie Yen plays Dragon Chan, an undercover cop deep within the ranks of one of China's most ruthless underworld gangs. The leader of the gang, Zeong, has made it his priority to weed out the government infiltrators in his midst. Struggling to keep his family together, which only really consists of his mum, and his identity concealed, Chan is torn between two worlds.
He's not really torn. He absolutely despises being a gangster. He wants to be a policeman as soon as possible.
So, essentially, it's like most triad films.
Yeah.
Where undercover cops. But in this one, there's just lots of mixed martial arts. What do you think of it?
Really good. What kind of fighting?
Aye.
Yeah. I like the real fight.
The gritty action.
Yeah. Where people's arms could get broken in a second.
And hopefully they're fighting with plastic props. I don't want to see them using proper knives. Hopefully they're in a plastic set. Oh, and they're getting thrown into just...
Aye. Give me mean like foam down the stairs and shit.
Exactly, hopefully they're foam steps or it's like an aluminium box that he gets ploughed into and
yeah. Hopefully no though. Yeah.
Essentially I think my first thought when watching this was like Sleeping Dogs, the video game. Oh no, the movie.
Wait, Fabian.
Oh, let's do that line again.
I'll let you
Essentially, it's Sleeping Dogs, the movie.
That's better.
I'm going to cut that so I get your first reaction of my second take.
Cheating bastard.
By the way, it just felt like... It kind of made me want to play like Sleeping Dogs a bit.
It was good.
Undercover cop, rising ranks in the triads, although Donnie Yen's character was like 6 years deep into it already.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was obviously Colin Chow's character, Brother Zong, or Zeong, the main bad triad.
The grey haired guy.
Yeah, aye. Like,
the hairdresser, let's call him the hairdresser. Cause
the hairdresser, aye. Like, he was, like, what doesn't he tell in the plot later, which isn't a big spoiler, because obviously this film is quite new, was like, he's trying to weed out the moles in his triads by. Or is that a really big spoiler? Kinda. Like that cigar chomping moment when he's on the phone. He hangs up.
He was eating a cigar?
A big fucking stogie.
I can't believe him eating a cigar.
Like he was smoking cigar to the ones right. The police are
coming. I mean, he was on the shit. He was doing a shit and he was saying, meh, meh, meh.
This probably.
Is your last chance, you dick.
Aye.
I didn't make a cigar. I think you're imagining shit.
I've seen this film twice now. I know there's a cigar.
Sure.
Yes. Because like fucking hell, he's chewing scenery with that cigar. But it's a good film. It's sort of like good and bad. Like good, like it is bad in some ways.
What?
Like it's strange how it's like really dark, gritty, try as shit. Now it's like fluffy fun time with the female cop on the roof, like just flirting. And then it goes back to deep, dark scenes. And they're flirting, playing with, like, air guns. And then he's, like, he's sitting trying to console her. And, like, here's your favourite mug. and they're sitting through, they pretend to have toy fights and tickle fights on rooftops, whereas like it goes really light and fluffy for a film that's supposed to be dark and gritty.
I don't know, just kind of,
it's like they're trying to balance it out, but it just isn't, like, it seems out of place. Like, it maybe seems too light and fluffy for, especially for the fact that there is no relationship towards it. He doesn't get the girl in the end. They don't, there's no like romance,
no penetration.
No, like, so like you, it felt like the sort of thing like they were bonding, maybe like they share a kiss, this, that, the next thing, he feels more for her, and when she's in danger he compromises himself.
Yeah.
But nah, they're just like
cops on the beat.
Yeah.
Best friends.
Mm-hmm.
They benefit.
Platonic. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I don't think Hong Kong cops get any benefits. But no, I did like the fights. It was, again, like, it's like the gritty style that he's like, he likes the brain. Aye. Like, for films, it was similar to like Flashpoint that he'd done a few years ago, where he was fighting Colin Chow, like the hairdresser.
Mm.
This is when both of them were scrapping in there, in that film at least. But it's sort of like the same style, lots of mixed martial arts. And even like in the beginning of the movie, we got to see him go against Ken Lo, who's like an expert in Thai, like Muay Thai, kickboxing. So we got to see him like try to adapt his style against that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like the way you'd expect babies would fight, by sliding on their arse across the floor, daring them to come at him. But
get out of me, bro.
That's a very different film. Supposedly this film had like quite a troubled production.
Aye,
there was the original bad guy was supposed to be Vincent Zhao, the guy that replaced Jet Li in the Once Upon a Time in China films,
right.
4 and 5, and
so he'll be of age now.
They're similarly aged. He's done films more recently, like True Legend, where it was another like it was sort of like in style Fearless, like these Ip Man
period.
Notable characters from either fiction or history being brought into like modern day period action movies.
Yes.
Like, so it was sort of his time to do one as the Beggar Show. So that was like the drunken kickboxing, things like that. So that was one of the big films he got to do recently, and he was fighting Andy on in that as well. But he got brought on as the bad guy for this, but they're saying the script kept changing that much. And like, the film was originally known as something like Ultimate Code Breaker. Originally, but it's obviously got changed and changed. But they said there's so many script changes to it, according to Wikipedia, that Vincent Zhao felt his character was being compromised and decided just to leave the project. Then he was replaced with Colin Chow and Andy On as two villains.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon if there were possibly, he might have saw that his, he might have been the Colin Chow character and seen his screen time getting cut for a younger guy to do the fights. That's what it could have been. But there's also facts that Donnie Yen was like a major dickhead on set. Like, he is the cock of the walk, and when somebody else comes in with moves, like, you bow down to Donnie.
Yeah, he
like,
decides
this is my set, like, no creative input is what I'd seen. Like, that's when I first got wind of this movie, when I heard about him walking off set then leaving the project, and it's all because of this film. And like a year later the film's out now. And but there's even like, I'm gonna have to refer to Wikipedia for like the next one where it's production. As the production continued, Tan Bing, the original director and writer of the film when it was called Ultimate Code Break, claimed that his script and premise had been stolen by Donnie Yen, and logged complaints with China State Administration of Radio, Film and Television, and is demanding that the film's release is held back until he is compensated for what he believes is a breach of contract. Various creative differences have been kept from the producers from releasing any films, any trailers or promos for the film until now, but Impact was lucky enough to get a first look at the incredible car chase from the film staged by Bruce Law, which featured Andy On battling Chinese actress Jin Tan.
Mm-hmm.
As he drives through downtown Shenzhen with Yen in hot pursuit. So basically, it seemed like the original director was trying to stop the production from happening because they were basically modified it enough to make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded like he was trying to stop it until he got
compensated for his work.
So obviously we're not too sure what, like, I think, and if it was like maybe these fight scenes, it was something to do with his film, or if it was more of the story side, but
mm-hmm.
it seems like there was some trouble in getting this done, and obviously a switch up of directors as well to get Clarence Ford in.
Mm-hmm.
So there was obviously some gripes with this movie. Like, there's some bits that, like, we mentioned that didn't rub right with Andy on switching from like maybe like Mandarin English, to English. Like, okay, we know you're American, so at least once every conversation I will switch in to like like English, and everyone will respond to me in Chinese, and we will all understand each other as if we're all having no one conversation.
But I suppose the one thing I noticed that I remembered after they said about that was that the policeman talking to Tony Yen, saying that you can't be in the police because you need to know, learn English.
Right, so they all should be equipped with that.
And then they said it again at the end. I've even taken English lessons. I can't even speak English.
Well, we all speak Mandarin now.
Aye, fuck you.
Mandarin, secretly owned Hong Kong. China.
A language.
Yes,
owns
secretly
Hong
owned.
Kong.
Yes.
Yes.
That'll probably be, like, remember at the end of In the Line of Duties, we just got to see watches. And then credits of this will just be like Mandarin, like a block of text just saying how Mandarin is secretly taking over.
Yes.
Aye. Sir Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. Ah, that's a pool, isn't it?
No.
Alright.
Fucking shit.
One thing, like, obviously quite impressive was like that final chase, like car chase scene, where it was almost reminiscent to In the Line of Duty with the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting on the ambulance, whereas we had Jing Tan fighting on a
Land Rover,
actually, a Range Rover.
Don't you dare, that's blasphemy.
Okay.
Land
Rover. Fighting on a Jeep.
It could be a fucking Range Rover.
But,
like, I'm just dumb shit.
Like, they did, like, with Bruce Law doing the stunts, and that is usually his field when it comes to, like, if there's any movie with big car stunts, it's always usually his name at the credits anyway.
Yeah.
But it was quite impressive, like, it was sort of the same thing. She was hanging off the side of the vehicle, sharp corners, she'd been swung out.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's maybe, like, it was a stuntman for some of the more dangerous stuff.
Why?
I don't know, I just
make up earn her fucking 250 yen.
Well, that might be the thing, because, like, her beforehand, I think she was known for some, like, maybe romantic dramas or comedies in the mainland, because she's only maybe done 8 or 9 films. But our next movie is PS, like, 2013, like, Police Story, the next Police Story.
I thought you were saying
PlayStation 2013. But no, she is the female lead in the next Police Story film.
Yeah.
Which, again, looks like very
gritty.
Influenced by the mainland as well.
Has it got a bit of a lot of fighting, or is it mere drama?
Well, we did watch the trailer last week.
I can't remember.
It looked pretty action packed. Like,
yeah.
It had car stunts, it had Jackie using guns, and a lot of, like, kicks.
Right.
So she, like, we got to see her throw down some moves in this film, so she might be doing more of the fighting.
She kicked some ass in this.
She was like, I think if Donnie Yen took her away for a fortnight to train with her. Put her in several holes and chokes. But a wee bit more detail on the other characters in the cast. Obviously, brother Sonny, the American fighter, Andy On, has appeared in previous films such as, like, New Police Story, and he's been changed up with, like, some more dramatic roles in the last few years. We're working with Johnny Toe. He appeared in, like, Election 2, and he's also one of the leads in Mad Detective. He's, like, the young upstart cop trying to get back in contact with Lau Ching Wan's character, who is the Mad Detective. Next year, this is something straight, well, something interesting that I found out, that next year he's starring in a film called Cyber, directed by Michael Mann, the director of Collateral, the Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx Taxi Driver film.
Oh,
yeah. And of course he done the Miami Vice remake. This film stars Chris Hemsworth, Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Tang Wei, Donnie Yen's wife from Dragon.
Yeah.
the woman from Last Caution. Lee Hong Wang, the dude for China Strike Force and Little Big Soldier. And it's supposedly a Chinese-American military forces team up to take on a high-level computer hacking. Or computer hackers. Mm. So it's like a mixed... Like it's got a Chinese cast and American cast joining forces to take down hackers.
Mm.
So that's coming out at some point next year, which could be interesting.
Seems like a game that's coming out. Watchdog.
Oh, right, aye. Well, the hacking with cellular phones.
Aye, he can do anything he wants with his phone.
Aye, I'll fiddle with traffic.
Make people crash. What, a few kids in the back seat.
Oh, that's what you get for not putting on a seatbelt.
Oh.
No one should ever say that.
Especially with us having young kids.
Yeah. Ronald Cheng, he was the police chief. Donnie Yen's chief, the guy.
His superior.
Aye, the one that he meets up with in alleyways to get, like, what's the next mission?
Oh shit, sorry. He didn't get caught. I was lying.
Oh, someone bits under the blanket. He's, like, sort of traditionally, or more well known as, like, a comedy actor.
What
was it? He's starred in, like, films like Golden Chicken, it was the comedic relief in Fatal Contact, which was like a Wu Jing martial arts movie. That's the young dude. Remember Killzone, SPL? And there's Donnie Yen, and there was a young dude who was wicked smart with martial arts.
No.
That was. Nah. Oh, it was him. It was basically him getting his own film and doing underground boxing to do something. And Ronald Cheng came on as like his sidekick slash manager. Slash comedic relief.
Right.
I think I've showed you the film, but like he's also wrote, starred, and directed It's a Wonderful Life from 2007. I don't think it's anything to do with the black and white Christmas classic.
That makes you cry every
that
year.
That makes me cry every year, like many other folk. We all can just be.
These people in your imagination.
We're not all like you who just like lack emotion. And even like getting high off his fucking face doesn't even really help you emote.
No.
Son.
I wasn't born with emotions.
No. Fucking black tar heroin will probably get emotion in you. No, probably not even
nothing.
That. Nothing. Colin Chow, the hairdresser, started out with Sammo Hung's team under a different name in Nai Sing. And that was like NGAI. Sing.
What?
His first name.
Ang.
Nai.
Oh, Nai.
So it's sort of like
Ang.
A silent G.
Oh.
So he'd done like a lot of Samo's movies.
Yeah.
He was the bad guy in Bodyguard from Beijing, a Jet Li film, which was released over here as The Defender. He was also like most notably known for is like appearing in the Matrix sequels. He was. Just the Chinese dude Neo had to fight to meet the Oracle. He was like the bodyguard for her.
Was the director?
No. The director's like those weird albino twins and one that's now a man. Or you mean bodyguard of the director?
No, he's not the director. He's a fucking like martial arts choreographer or something.
Oh, I don't know. Yun Wu-Ping.
Aye, I thought that's who that was.
He's a wee old man.
Was it? Right. So he's just buffed it for the Matrix.
And he's Colin Chow's also made appearances in Fearless, going against Jet Li, and he was also the villain in Forbidden Kingdom, the Jackie Chan Jet Li American collaboration.
Monkeys.
That had Monkey King.
Aye.
That was Jet Li as the Monkey King, but it was the Evil Emperor, the Jade Emperor, that turned him monkey to stone. That's Colin Chow. I'm just letting you know these are films he's been in. You don't need to remember them.
Oh, I'm just sitting here like he's going to ask me a quiz after this and I'm going to tell him anything.
No, this is not Mass Movie Side UK, you're fine.
Yeah.
Director Clarence Falk, or Ford has directed some classics before. Iceman Cometh with Yuen Biu and Yuen Hua.
Not the remake.
That's just Iceman 3D.
How was it?
Part 1.
Will he be coming?
He might be. Donnie Yen. And he also directed Naked Killer.
really.
Mm-hmm.
Was it naked in it?
Well, we watched it ages ago, and I, let's see, it stars Ching Mai Yao.
What?
That's always a thing I had to do when mentioning past podcasts. So I thought I'd have to keep it up.
Disabled.
So disabled. And there was also, I think, actress Carrie, who I think she was the one that, like one of the lower ranked actresses in that film. I think she was the one that went nude in it. But Ching Mai Yao always had like a well placed chair or piece of furniture covering up, like
trying to stop it going,
trying covering nipples and
sleaze kind of category.
So there's always, I think that was covered on This Week in Sleaze anyway.
Oh, was it?
But it was your category, girls with guns and nudity and lesbians and all this, that and the next thing. So that was what he directed, but he was also the director of the 10 New Option movies starring Michael Wong.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
He went on holiday with Michael Wong for one summer and they made 10 movies together.
This is like they just bought a big bag of weed. Let's do movies.
They're all probably like 10 minutes long each. Still all got cinema releases. I'm pretty sure they still like raked in probably about 5 million each. It's like, together we done not bad. When it comes to IMDb Special ID was rated 5.4 out of 10 with 250 votes, so got an average. It's been, I think it has been slated sort of everywhere, like maybe the only saving grace is the action, but it's really like just been panned. Rotten Tomatoes haven't rated it yet, but for the percentage of people that want to see it is the 100%, which I don't know.
Everyone wants to see it.
Exactly.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Everyone that's registered on Rotten Tomatoes is itching to see some special ID. Or it could be, do you want to see this? Yes or no? So there might have only been enough people that have said yes to keep the ratio at 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that has the majority of my notes on it without us.
Did it win any awards?
It's, I think it came out last month, man. It's really.
Hey. Take on me, man. Nah, dude, they don't usually go to like film festivals and shit.
I don't think so. I'm not sure if this was known to maybe be a bit of a bad film where it kind of just got shot right out there. Like, I don't think it got took on any circuits or. Like, the film pulled in, let's see, 25 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, compare it. Aye, well, I guess. I was going to say, In the Line of Duty took 12 million 20 years ago, and this film took in 25 million in a day where like films usually make 100 million.
Yes.
So, So, I reckon what, like, I might just be early figures because obviously it came out a month ago, so it could still be.
It's not this DVD release, so fuck away.
Aye, exactly. So, like, it still has time yet. Like, it could still be putting in for awards, or like, it could be just nominated for stuff. But I could only probably see it getting nomination for maybe cinematography. Like, Peter Powell was the cinematographer, and he's like done some really good cinematography work before, and he's won plenty of awards for it. And other than that, it could just be Donnie for his for the action choreography.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's grey action, and this is one where it's not overly wire heavy. Like, they do some jumps which they obviously get a wee hound with a wire, but it's not like Return of Chains End where you run, like, just flies across just fucking war battlegrounds. There'll be 360 spins just to slide under something. It's like, really?
Over the top.
So, but. Yeah, I think it's time to rate these films into the Scottish Podcast on Fire.
Go for it.
Movie chart.
Where's all this dick? Oh, you wear the fucking original copies.
I've got it here in front of me. So, let's start with In the Line of Duty. Would that make it into your top 10?
No.
Okay. Would it be in your top 20?
Read me my bottom five.
Your bottom five is. Let's see, Once Upon a Time in China 3 at 21, Ledger of the Fist at 22, Once Upon a Time in China 4 at 23, China 5 at 24, and The Kick at 25. Bottom of the barrel,
I'd say it'd be 20, Above my bottom five.
Oh, okay, so you prefer it to Once Upon a Time in China 3, then above that is Steel Pigeon.
I like Steel
Pigeon. You like Steel Pigeon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In the line of duty 4. Right. For myself, I would probably put in the line of duty maybe a little bit higher. I reckon if it's better than Iron Monkey. Iron Monkey, like, both films are heavy with nostalgia. It's definitely better than Triad. I think I liked it more than Steel Pigeon for, like, Steel Pigeon still, like, something we watched, like, during the summer, whereas In the Line of Duty, I've got history with it, man. I've seen it on VHS.
Motherfucker.
So
you're not picking it on this cinematic effort, you're just picking it because you like it, because you had it for ages.
Hi, how do you rate this chart?
I grew up with it.
For Fred went to school. It helped me in a fight. I used his fucking rental case as a weapon and killed the kid.
It taught me how to fucking roll away when I get punched.
And talk with my hands.
Call people scum.
I said scum.
Then you get the fuck shit and kicked, don't you?
And somebody comes on to me, here's your weapon. In the line of duty, VHS. Okay, so I'll put in at number 16 on my chart. Now, special ID. Top 10.
Could possibly be. That's at the bottom of my top 10.
You're from top. The number 10, you have Dream Home.
Lower.
You have Triad at number 11.
What was Triad?
Triad's the one that looked like a Young and Dangerous remake, but wasn't. And we teamed that with Wohoo. It was like Triad was like a lot of fresh faced actors.
Okay. I would put it just above that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is Special ID going in at number 11. For myself, okay, I prefer Dragon to Special ID. So that leaves us with Tower underneath it.
Popcorn action movie with flames,
but this
and firemen that carry explosives.
I was thinking this is almost the same as like popcorn action, and there's flames as well. Like that.
Or do you prefer explosives or fucking arm bars?
Yeah, I'm gonna put Special ID in at number 12. On my chart.
Yeah.
So that's below Dragon but above Tower. Mm. Okay, other than that, that's really us for this episode.
Yeah. What's our next?
I think project. Our next episode, well, we're getting close to Christmas because we record obviously fortnightly, so
yeah.
Next time I come back, it will be. I'm also recording like a Christmas special with all the other guests on Podcast and Fire.
Right.
Which I think I'll be recording that the day before I come and see you then.
Mm-hmm.
So and again we could attempt to do our Armor of God trilogy, or we could go for the drug double bill with Drug War and Protégé.
But we've done Drug War.
No, we've not watched Drug War.
Sure.
I'm positive it's still wrapped in plastic in my house. That's
what have you seen? That something like Drug War?
Something like Drug War? I don't know. There's
the title is similar.
Do you have anything? Let's have a look at the list. It's not Dream Home, Dragon, Special ID, Beastalker. You maybe get it mixed with Beastalker or Steel Pigeon, maybe?
Something war.
There's no wars.
Drug something.
No drugs. There's no
what
drugs.
What the fuck?
I've just suggested this to you in the past.
Right.
That we're going to do.
I'm getting fried.
We could not figure out what film to compare it to. Whereas
right.
We got a suggestion of comparing it with Protégé, the Andy Lau, Daniel Wu, drug trafficking film.
Right.
So I thought that was a good enough mix. And it also starred Lewis Koo, who's the lead in Drug War. So I thought it was a good enough like connection there to do that one. So it depends if you want to go for those two, or we do the trilogy. Armor of God trilogy as sort of like our Christmas special.
I think the trilogy would probably be like a Christmassy thing. Drugs and death isn't really a holiday season.
There's a lot of like cocaine's like just that white snow. Just that white snow.
Just go and start sniffing the ground at Christmas Day. Oh, it's cold.
I think I've got a contact high. It's pneumonia.
You wash your nose quicker with that. I just freeze and fall off.
So we'll decide that before, well, when it comes to recording the next episode anyway.
That would be a...
We've got to figure out our time schedule there.
Yeah.
For the amount of time it took us today to watch two films.
Yeah.
But I blame on the filmmakers.
Who?
For making films an hour and 40 minutes long.
Fuck off!
Find us on facebook.com/POF Network, Twitter @ Podcast on Fire, podcastonfire.com for all our other shows.
I think fuck all.
If you want to email us suggestions for shows, podcastonfire@googlemail.com. Other than that, that's us.
Uh-huh.
Another episode in the can.
It's gone in the fucking bucket.
Fuck you.
In the bag.
That's my.
You don't see it in the can. It's in the bag.
It's in the bag.
That's better.
With the cat that got let out.
You're a fuck.
My cat likes to sleep in the bag.
Your cat's weird though.
I know.
How's your cats?
They're fine.
They ate your baby yet?
They have not eaten my baby.
They're trying.
They have no interest in my baby.
Do they know?
Nah, they just do their own thing. Like, if the baby's there, they don't care. Is there heat coming out of that radiator? Aye, I'll just lie here then.
Fuck you, baby.
Is there biscuits in my bowl? Fine, I don't care about your baby. Sometimes they'll eyeball the milk, but that's it. Fancy some of that. And we're talking about powder milk here, in case there's any sickos out there.
Cut some tits. That's fucking right.
That's a fucking Takeshi Miike film right there. Okay, till next time.
Yeah. Bye.
Fuck you.
Oh, you.